Hello and welcome to This Week at Charlestown Road, a branch of the Heavenbound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus. This is where we reflect on the weekend that was. We dig a little deeper into a recent sermon to give you something to think about as this week unfolds and preview what's to come this next weekend at Charlestown Road. Roger, this past Sunday, you had the opportunity to preach in the morning. Excellent sermon where you reminded us everyone matters.
Yeah, we talked about the subject of evangelism, and that's probably one of the top 10 sermons that people do not like to hear because they feel like this is just a trip down guilt lane and the preacher's going to guilt me. And it really shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way at all. And as we try to look at some aspects of evangelism that is really not as difficult as we make it, is not as complicated as it should be. We began in Mark 5 when Jesus healed that demon-possessed man, and at the very end, when the people come back from telling the owners of the pigs who drowned in the sea where the demons went, they found that man clothed, sitting down in his right mind, and he wants to go with Jesus. And Jesus tells him, no, go home to your people and tell them what things the Lord has done. And that's just a simple, simple concept of evangelism. And what we began with is we just rapid fire through several examples in the book of Acts. It just shows this rapid growth of the early church. Exactly what Jesus said, like that little mustard seed, it would just grow and become the largest plant. And what we notice is that early church did that without the tools we have today. There wasn't Facebook and websites and live streaming and all the avenues we have today, yet that church grew and grew and grew. And from that, we talked about the three focuses that we see in the first century. And there was an upward focus. That's what we call worship, focusing on God. That's where a lot of people stop. That's all they want to do is worship God. But that's not the totality of what the early church did. They had an inward focus we call encouragement or edification. And they made each other grow and get stronger and closer to each other and to the Lord. And then the third aspect we notice, and that's evangelism. That's looking outward. That's looking to the community and across the oceans, trying to save the lost. And so from that, we just emphasize some simple concepts that evangelism isn't always in faraway places. It takes place at home when mom and dad try to teach their kids about Jesus. Evangelism is the only avenue, and this is the essential point I really want our folks to see. Evangelism is the only avenue in which the church grows. You can't pay somebody else to do that. You can pay somebody else to paint the church building. You can pay somebody to cut the yard, but you cannot pay someone else to do your evangelism. It has to be done by disciples of Jesus. And that's essential, and we have to understand that. And so it's not about how large we get, how many we a church baptize, but what's about is telling other people about Jesus. And it still works today, as we kind of emphasize. And so we kind of wrapped it up with three main points, and that is we have to believe it, and we have to live it, and then we have to share it with others. And that's really the core of that lesson, and it's just a simple lesson, but it reminds us God has put things in our hands, and we need to be busy doing those things.
It is freely available at charlestownroad.org and in our sermon podcast feed. If you haven't had the opportunity to watch or listen, I would most certainly encourage you to do that. Roger, you mentioned just a minute ago, and in fact, it was a point, kind of a sub-point, I guess, in your interactive outline, but an important one, evangelism still works. Do you think everybody believes that?
No. No. I think a lot of people have given up on that. And a lot of people aren't really interested in converting or changing a life towards Jesus. And that's why we see, even in the realm of religion, it reminds me when I was a boy, I used to watch those old Superman it shows. And when they start off, you know, look up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane. Today, you know, is a church a school? Is it a hospital? What is it? And it's gotten away from everything but the spiritual mission is supposed to be. And so I think a lot of people have gotten away from that idea that evangelism works. I think they've kind of settled for some gimmicks and some Band-Aids. You know, if you go to the doctor and he says you have cancer, and he says before you leave, the nurse is going to put a Band-Aid on where it's at, that doesn't treat you. I mean, it's like that's no good. And I think that's what our culture has done, even in the name of religion. They've handed out a lot of Band-Aids, makes people feel good for a moment. But the deep problem is still within our souls, and that's why only evangelism can work.
Yeah, you elaborated on that in the sermon, that evangelism still works because the problem is still the same, but the power is also the same. The problem is human brokenness. And, you know, whether I lived 2,000 years ago on the other side of the world and spoke Hebrew, or I live in southern Indiana or northern Kentucky and I speak English, the problem is still the same. I'm not sure that everybody appreciates the fact that even though a long time has passed since Jesus walked the earth, our core problems are exactly the same as they were 2,000 years ago.
I think we get the idea that we are so advanced now. I mean, we can pick up a phone and call the other side of the planet. We can just about order a pizza to the moon if we want. I mean, we've got satellites so far out in space now. I saw a picture of the last picture of the Voyager satellite. It's way out there now, and it turned the camera around and took a picture of Earth. And what you see is all these dots, and one dot is planet Earth. And so we're so advanced, we're so smart, we're just so, you know, we're doing everything now that we think we've kind of outgrown sin. And it's like, you know, well, that was their problem because they were immature and they were simple people. We're a complex people. The answer is no. We still deal with sin. And all we have to do is turn on the nightly news, and we see that. We have crime. We have brokenness in families. We see the results of sin everywhere. We see hearts that are shallow and selfish. That's all part of sin. And so we may be smart, but we're still sinning. And we will never get to the point where by our human nature, we just get to a point where we don't. I mean, to do that denies scripture. And so Romans 3:23, we all have sinned. And that was fitting to the Romans. That's fitting to us today. We need to see that.
So the problem is still the same, but you also emphasized that the power of the gospel is still the same. You know, I have a feeling this time of year, if we set up a booth outside the church building here and offered to get people's taxes done for free, we might be able to get a pretty good line of people. We got a pretty good sized parking lot. You know, we could really put some fun stuff in the parking lot. We could have a car wash every Saturday and really get the attention of our neighbors. But that is not the power that they need for this enduring problem.
Because your taxes are done, your car is washed, but you still go home a sinner.
Yeah.
See, the only thing that can change your insides is Jesus Christ. And so the power of the gospel, it's the power into salvation, Romans 1, verse 16. Jesus is a propitiation, 1 John 2, verse 2, the satisfaction for sins. And so God saw the problem, and that's why that famous verse, John 3, 16, God so loved the world that he gave. He gave Jesus because he didn't send down an angel. He didn't set up a car wash. He didn't send down a tax consultant. He sent his son to be the perfect sacrifice because that is the only answer to our brokenness.
Yeah, it was an important reminder there toward the beginning of the sermon. Evangelism still works today. And that's something worth reflecting on here in the middle of the week. But also in the middle of the sermon, you talked about how people are turned off by four H's. And I would love just to walk through these briefly, maybe give us an example or two of what this might look like in the middle of this week. Number one, people are turned off by hypocrisy.
Yeah, we first of all have to understand what hypocrisy is. It's You know, the word simply means pretending. It's not what you really are. It comes from the idea of an actor who puts on a mask and pretends to be somebody. A little child runs around a house with a cape on. He pretends he's Superman. He's not. He's just pretending. So a hypocrite is not somebody who changes his mind. It's not somebody who's weak and now has gotten stronger. A hypocrite is simply pretending to be what you're not. So I'm at work and I'm pretending to be a Christian, but my mouth gives away that I'm not. I jump into the pool of gossip with everyone else, or I talk about people in a negative way, or my coworkers know that I'm doing things that are dishonest and unethical. People are going to be turned off by those things. I use illustrations in the sermon of the songs that we listen to on our phones, the message you wear in your T-shirt. What does it say? Does it honor God, or does it make somebody think, well, I didn't know you were a Christian? The movies you watch, the YouTube videos you look at, all those are just simple indications that if I'm to be a child of God, it's everywhere, anywhere, all the time. And one of the things, particularly our family, more than anyone else will see, will be that hypocrisy. And they'll see that on Sunday, you act like a Christian, but come Monday, get out of your way because you don't. And that kills evangelism.
All right. So people are turned off by hypocrisy, number one. Number two, hopelessness.
Yeah, hopelessness. We just get caught up in that tide going south of gloom and doom. And, that little Chicken Little idea, the sky is falling and, we don't know what to do and everything's bad, our hope's in Jesus. And I was emphasizing there, the hope for this country is not in this coming election. When you listen to talk radio, you'd think it is. That's, they're pitching this as the most important election of all time.
Well, we've heard that before, haven't we?
Yeah, it seems like just the last election they said that, So that's not our hope. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. And so to live with hope, okay, I've got bad news, or I'm coming home from the cemetery, or I'm sitting in the waiting room at the hospital. And God doesn't say as a child of God that you're going to be excluded from trouble. No, you're going to have trouble, but you look at it differently because I have somebody on the throne. I have God. And so there is a hope that gets me through the worst times. And so when you look like everyone else, I act like everyone else, then that lack of hope is going to think, well, you're just like me. Why should I become like you?
Yeah. Number three, people are turned off by harshness.
Yeah, that's that old judgmental attitude. That's I'm right, you're wrong. You said the wrong word. You didn't do this right. You didn't park your car right. You're not dressed right. This isn't right. You're not on time. I mean, just over and over and over and over. It's almost like the old image of a drill sergeant with new recruits. And it's just chewing somebody out for every single thing they've done. And that's not the image of Jesus. I mean, you look at him with his disciples and they're kind of bumbling along, saying wrong things sometimes, but you never really find him just chewing them out, telling them to go home, things like that. That critical attitude is always with a radar gun pointed at someone else. And it's always a failure to look in the mirror and to realize that, who am I to say that to you? And we need to be helpful and not hurtful.
All right. One more. People are turned off by haughtiness.
Yeah. Usually harshness and haughtiness live on the same street. sometimes they're next door neighbors. And because I'm so harsh, it gives me the attitude that I'm better than you are. I can judge you because I'm better than you are. I go to church and you don't go to church. I do this and you don't. And so it's like a superior attitude. And we need to remind ourselves we're saved by the grace of God. We're not saved because we're such darling angels. We're not. So people will catch that. That's a spirit. That's an attitude. And it's real quickly to see that. And that just makes people sour. Jesus didn't act that way. I mean, he was God on earth. And he didn't tell people, apart the way I'm walking through, this is God on earth. He didn't say, you go fetch me this, you go fetch me this, because I'm God on earth. What did he do? He washed feet. He served other people. He went to homes and healed people. He was a servant. And so that haughty, better than you attitude just doesn't belong in the heart of a disciple.
I think it's valuable to revisit those four turnoffs here in the middle of the week because it's an important reminder. I can believe that evangelism still works, and I can correctly have diagnosed the problem. The problem is our own brokenness, and I can even believe that the gospel is God's power for salvation. To everyone who believes, I can have all of those intellectual checkpoints green lit in my mind and still be a turnoff in the way I handle that information.
Absolutely. So the choice of our words, our attitudes, you know, when we roll our eyes or we give that big old sigh, you know, that just kills everything. And so you can have the right faith in the sense, I believe the right stuff, but is it really affecting me? Is it really changing me? And so that's so important.
You know, I, like you, I'm sure have heard the phrase all my life. Sometimes Christians look like they've been baptized in pickle juice.
Yes.
We don't want to be that sort of person, that sort of influence in the world. And that, why don't we end on these three essential aspects to evangelism? We've got to believe it. You took us back to Acts 4, verse 12. There is salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. What's that going to look like if I really believe that today?
Well, if I really believe Jesus is the answer, then I'm going to live that way. You know, that's going to take care of those four H's we've just talked about. And I'm going to understand that my only hope is in Jesus. It's not my perfect attendance. It's not me. It's Jesus. And so then I have to realize that somebody has taught me about Jesus, and I need to teach others. Or someone has invited me. I need to invite others. I'm just part of the process here. I'm one link in this chain, and I got to believe that. And if I believe it, then my actions, my attitude is going to reflect that.
Yeah, you took us under that idea, not just of believing it, but living it, to the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus says, you're the salt of the earth, the light of the world. What might that look like today?
Well, of course, you know, and as Jesus expressed it, he said, you are. He didn't use the expression, you need to be or hope you become. You are. And so salt is something in the first century world you'd cake your meat in salt because they did not have freezers like we do. And that would make it preserve. So it's the idea that the world around us is rotten, but we are the salt. We are preserving it. We're showing people that there's still goodness in this world. There are still people I can believe in today. There are people who, when they say it, I can trust their words. There are people who really have a delightful spirit about them. And that's that light. It's pointing to Jesus. You know, when we get up in the middle of the night, we turn on the light lest we stub our toes. And so the light allows us to see. And so we are the ones not looking at us, but looking at Jesus. And we do that by our spirit, by our tone, by our interactions with others. That's how we do that.
Yeah, we've got to believe it. We've got to live it. And we've got to share it. I especially appreciated how you emphasized this isn't like shopping for a new house. We're not in the business of pre-qualifying.
Yeah, you know, I've bought a lot of houses through the years. And, you know, you see this house or you look on Zillow and you look at this lovely house and you call up the listing agent and you want to go walk through it. The first thing they're going to do is they're going to see, they're going to pre-qualify you. Rather than wasting their time and the homeowner's time, they're going to see how much money you have. And if you're going to be looking at a $5 million house and you only have $1.50 in your account, you're wasting everybody's time. You just want to look at that and you have no hope of buying it, okay? That's called pre-qualifying. And it works great in real estate. It works good in selling cars. We pre-qualify people. But when you think about the idea of evangelism, we cannot pre-qualify. We cannot say, well, here's this guy and he's been on drugs and he's no good. The woman at the well is a classic example. She had been married 5 times and she was living with this current guy she wasn't even married to. How Jesus could say, I don't want you around us. But he spent time and talked to her about the living water that he offers. And so our job is just to throw that seed of Jesus out there everywhere and not to say, well, this guy doesn't look like the rest of us or this guy's odd or what. We can't be doing that. And we'll let the Lord handle all that stuff. Our job is simply to invite, share the seed as God wants us to.
Because everyone matters. And it was a powerful reminder. Again, the sermon is freely available, charlestownroad.org, and in our sermon podcast feed. Roger, thank you very much for that sermon and for revisiting it today. We've got the opportunity this evening, 7 o'clock p.m., to gather together to study God's Word. You're going to be teaching in the auditorium.
Yes, we are getting close to the end of this quarter, hard to believe, and we're doing a series on expectations. We're going to talk about heaven. What do you expect when you get to heaven? That's just a great thought, isn't it?
Excellent, excellent. In our Building Blocks track of studies, we're exploring what is the Lord's Supper. Tonight, we're going to talk about it as communion. We use that word. You hear that word here and there. What does it really mean, and what does it have to do with the Lord's Supper? Roger, this Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m., you've got the opportunity to preach again.
Yes, I'm going to kind of come off that evangelism sermon from this last week, and I want to just talk about why Jesus. Why Jesus? He lived so long ago. His lifestyle seems so different than ours. Why Jesus? And then we're just going to walk through four simple reasons why we need Jesus today.
A lot to look forward to, a lot to live for this week. I appreciate you joining me today, Roger, and we, of course, appreciate all of you for listening to This Week at Charlestown Road. It would be great to see you tonight at 7 o'clock p.m. We're already looking forward to Sunday, the best day of the week, and we would love to have you come and grow with us.